Soul Tape. Champions Live is the name. Talking sports is our game.
Welcome to Urban Media Today Radio. I'm your co-host Bill Neal, along with Kevin Cameron. It is Soul Take, Champions Live sports talk show.
You know, there's a whole lot of good stuff going on in the world of sports, and you couldn't be tuned in any better anywhere than Soul Take Champions Live. We bring it to you once a week, every week from Pittsburgh, PA, and we're joined today by a very special guest, Vince Lackner, that wears a variety of hats that you'll hear from very shortly. We brought him in. He's most notably an attorney, Harvard grad. I had to go to the top of the line and get away from the low-hanging fruit. I had to go get a cat with a fair level of intelligence to help get Kevin in the right direction, because he is so wrong on so many things that I figured if I get a Harvard guy to come in, he might understand the error of his ways. So we'll talk about...
You know, Bill, I'm educated too, so... You know, I could hang with the best bounce with the best and everything else. So I'm here. I'm fired up. I'm ready to go. So it doesn't matter who you bring through the door.
Well, for those of you living outside Western Pennsylvania, if you consider Aliquippa a fair education, then so be it. But yeah, I mean, we just have to take it for what it's worth.
I'm talking higher education.
Well,
there,
but it starts
Mr.
there.
Neal. Higher education.
I figure your roots
is not where you start. Is where you finish.
But I figured your roots is where you got some of this misguided information that you have about sports.
Well,
let's begin with, for example, if I may.
Uh-huh.
For example, you're not a Pirate fan.
I'm a big time Pirate
fan. Oh, you're a Pirate
fan. I'm a big time Pirate fan.
And it would be evidenced by the fact that you have a Pirate hat on.
Yes.
And a Pirate shirt.
Right.
Probably because you got it.
And you've been to my house, right?
And so you probably got the shirt and hat on a giveaway night or something. So you probably didn't pay for it.
Did you see my black and gold room?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
But you won't go to a Pirate game.
That's
right. I'm having a hard time understanding the equation. I'm not the smartest. I'm probably the dumbest guy in the room right now. I don't, you know, Trev went
you
to
are.
A real good college, and apparently you say you're highly educated and the Harvard guy here. So, but even I should be able to figure out if a guy's wearing a Pirate hat and a Pirate shirt, he must be a Pirate fan.
Big time.
Well, you'll explain that momentarily?
I will.
All right, but
anytime.
All right, I'll come back to you, but Vince Lackner joins us today on Champions Live, Soul Take Champions Live, and we'll give you some updated information on how to find us each and every week. But Vince, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Bill.
And I see you came fully equipped, and I'm not surprised at all. You are one of those tech guys as well. You got the big old fancy computer, and Kevin got the little fancy computer over there, and Trev got the computer. And I know more about sports than all three of y'all put together, but that's not why we're here. But welcome to the show, and do me a favor, because we are worldwide and nationally accepted. Give the listeners a little background on yourself, where you came from high school-wise, where you grew up at, and where you went to college, and how, and a little athletic background.
Sure. So let me start by saying that I just got a phone call before this started, and my ringtone came through. So I think the starting point here is that when I got my first iPhone 8 years ago, that evening, I spent 3 hours trying to get my ringtone on, and here it is. So I'm going to play it, and let's see if I can get it to play here. That is my ringtone.
Ongoingly.
I've had it for 8 years.
Well, that's great.
And I thought,
well, no, let it play.
Right.
Let it play.
Okay, play, I mean,
play a little
more.
Play a little
okay,
bit more of that.
Let's get it going here. So ringtone. Here we go.
So for all the all the listeners out there, you know the first whistle. You know what that is, the famed Harlem Globetrotters, of which the great Connie Hawkins spent several years with. So that's very apropos as he fades away.
There you go, the fade out.
Kev,
the fade out jumper.
Kev, just so you know, Vince is capable of all kinds of surprises.
Yeah, I see.
So, yeah, trust
pulling
me,
out
a,
all kinds of things
oh, yeah,
already.
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
early in the show.
Yeah, it's the Harvard thing. So, but you hail from, grew up where? And
I grew up in Sheridan, West End, about two blocks from Langley High School. I went to...
That's right outside Pittsburgh. Well, it's in the heart of Pittsburgh, right?
It's in Pittsburgh, yeah. Halfway between Pittsburgh and McKees Rock.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, brief background, I went to the grade school down the street called Holy Innocents. My 95-year-old dad claims that was named after him. I then had the chance... I did not have the chance to go to Canavan because we had our own high school, Holy Innocents High School, that had opened a few years earlier. So I wasn't eligible to go to Canavan. And so my parents sent me to a place that I jokingly call a reform school in Rhode Island. It was a school run by Benedictine monks. So half the teachers were monks and half were laypersons in Portsmouth, Rhode Island. Mm. I was so aware of my environment that when I took the 13-hour train ride, and we had been to the school that summer before I took off in September, I was puzzled when the train in New York went north and the ocean and the sound were on my right, because I was expecting Portsmouth, Virginia, near Newport News, Virginia. In fact, it was Portsmouth, Rhode Island, near Newport, Rhode Island. So I get there after a 13-hour train ride, and that was my high school experience.
Was that something you wanted to do? You were okay with it?
We had a next-door neighbor who went there. He was 8 years older than I and had a wonderful experience, and I got a scholarship to go, so it probably turned out it was less expensive for my parents to send me away than it was to keep me.
Cool, cool. And so did you begin your basketball playing there?
Actually, I was going to play in seventh grade, but I sprained my wrist on the little Langley football field, the tar surface football field. And I got a green stick fracture on my wrist, so I couldn't play seventh grade. So I played in the eighth grade team. I was a ninth man on a nine-man eighth-grade team. That was the start of my basketball career.
Okay, you had to start somewhere.
That's right.
All right, so then, the basketball career continued or blossomed at the next level.
Yeah, so in high school, we had what was called Midler. That was freshman level, and then I played JV, and I played varsity in my junior and senior years. So we had such a powerhouse program that our season consisted of 11 games for the season. That we played a couple other boarding schools or reform schools.
Mm-hmm.
Schools in Rhode Island. Mm-hmm. A couple, Tabor Academy and Pomfret, which were in Massachusetts and Connecticut. So it wasn't a long season.
Yeah, yeah.
But I had the gym available to me, so I would play three times on Sundays. After Mass, before lunch, after lunch, before afternoon prayers, and then after dinner until closing time. So that was a blast to have access to the gym.
So basketball has been a part of your DNA from the start?
I would say it has. When I was 13, I grew 5 inches that year from 5'8" to 6'1", and then grew another 3 inches the next year, another inch after that, so to get to my current height of 6'5". So when I grew, I started to love the game, and as a sophomore, I would go to the gym and I would shoot, and I would shoot both hands. I would shot right-handed and left-handed.
Mm-hmm.
I worked on my left
hand. Sure.
And I had the honor of having one of the monks show me a hook shot. And he was a fellow named Bede Gorman, who was drafted by the Boston Celtics.
Get out of here.
In the pre-NBA years in the 20s. And he had this term of loosey-goosey. And he showed me how to kick the ball way out, and the hook shot is what was my bread and butter.
So, you know, you and I have talked a lot of basketball over the years, and you oftentimes, you know, make light of your talent and your positioning on various teams. But, in this moment, I want you to be honest because, you know, you did go to Harvard, and I'm sure a great part of that was academic. But you did play basketball at Harvard, and that's no day at the beach. I mean, that's not something any and everybody can do. So how was your college career?
Well, let me just put it this way. So coming out of the high school called Portsmouth Priory School in Rhode Island, I had the option of going to Harvard or Williams College. And I ended up going to Williams College my first year. And I played freshman basketball there, sort of fifth, sixth man.
Mm-hmm.
It was another year in the country, just like Rhode Island had been for 4 years.
Yeah.
And so I applied to transfer and was fortunately admitted to Harvard on a transfer basis, came in my sophomore year, obviously ineligible sophomore year, and then I made it as a walk-on my junior year.
Mm-hmm.
And I played my junior year.
Well, that speaks to your talent, for sure.
And as what I've always called, I was a Pine Brother on the team. So I rode the bench.
Well,
I had a chance to wear a uniform, and for me that was a thrill.
But you were on the team, and that was greater than the other 99% of the people in the school. So let me ask you about this. I guess everybody, you may run into this a lot. People, when you hear Yale, Harvard, Ivy League, people, I think, automatically, Kev, I don't know if you get this, you kind of get a vision or an image of, but is that what it was like? is it like the way the movies portray the Ivy League, staunch and and upper crust? And I mean, I know today it's changed, but was it like that then?
I would say it was then, as now, a very diverse place. So that there's so much going on, and you know, there are 6,000 undergraduates, roughly 1,500 per year in the undergraduate program, and you had all kinds of people and all kinds of activities going on. And so for me, for example, the basketball was a great way to focus, because it's easy to get distracted by all kinds of extracurricular activities. So academically, I did better my junior year when I was on the team, practicing 3 hours a day, Monday through Friday, because I could focus and I could easily put aside all the other distractions.
Right, right.
And that was my world largely for that year. But a very diverse place. So I think people have these misperceptions and misconceptions of any place they read about or see in the movie, like Love Story.
Yeah.
And it's not that always just that way. Mm-hmm. There's a lot more to lots of places.
So, Vince, when you say it's a very diverse place, that stood out to me when you said that. Right. Now, are you talking about diverse from a activity standpoint, or are you talking about diverse from a student body standpoint?
A good point of clarification. So, certainly diverse from an activities point of view. In terms of racial diversity, it wasn't as diverse then as it is now. My team, the team I was on, probably we had maybe there were 10 black guys and 5 white guys on the team.
Yeah.
They had a cheerleading.
And we can't really count the basketball team. I mean, we do, but if you take a look at a lot of different colleges, their athletics are normally diverse. And you take Georgetown, for example, if you just went strictly off of the basketball team, you would think it was an all-black school.
Right, right.
So I'm talking about the complete student body.
Right, right, of course.
Although it does intrigue me a little bit. You know, I mean, point well taken, Kevin, but it does intrigue me a little bit that there were more black basketball players than white at the time you were there. I think that's I think that's notable.
Well, I would say I didn't mean to mislead on the diversity. The basketball team wasn't representative of the student body's diversity.
Right.
That's where I was going.
Right. And so if I recall correctly, maybe the percentage of the student body that was black might have been, I'm going to say, 4 or 5%.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably 12 today.
Okay.
More representative of the black population.
Okay.
And that's not counting the female that they tried to arrest last week for sleeping in
her
dorm.
At Yale.
That was Yale. Yale, Harvard,
and
all the same.
And I'm laughing because it was ridiculous.
It was ridiculous.
I mean, it's not funny, but
Well,
the reason the police was called, you know,
wasn't
necessary.
It speaks to our ongoing weekly delving into social social climate and things that are going on. And we do, you know, we will dive in on that on occasion.
But I might add to that, the point is that what was even more ridiculous about that story at Yale was that it was the same white student who had called out another black student in the weeks before in the same way.
There's a pattern.
Right.
So what? And I think the question is, what is being done to the white student who was causing trouble? That needs to be addressed.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think the matter was reported to the dean's office by the police, who ended up, of course, doing nothing as far as the black woman taking the nap. She deserved to be there, and she had every right to be there.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what discipline was taken against the white student.
Well, let me offer this, and then we're going to jump into what we came here for, which is sports, because you guys are real social media guys and very, very tech savvy. You know, it speaks to the value of social media and technology aiding in breaking down some of these stereotypes and problems and issues, things that may have happened that would have gone unrecognized now become recognized and flashed around the world in a second. So we can thank technology for at least helping to create a better atmosphere in a lot of ways, because people can see and hear and report on things that heretofore could have just been swept under the carpet. It would have been no proof that it ever happened. So, you know, to that point, it serves an equally valuable purpose. But look, for our listeners, you are listening to Soul Take Champions Live, coming to you from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Our friend Vince Lackner comes to us by way of a relationship that he and I had. And in short, going back some 40 years, Vince Lackner was a player in the Connie Hawkins Summer Basketball League. And I was embarking on securing a 501c3 status for the organization that I established then, known as Champions. And in short, Vince was able to help us secure that tax exemption status, which, as we oftentimes talk about when we get together, Vince doesn't want to take a whole lot of credit for, but I often offer that had it not been for that, I may have gone in another direction and may not have ever started the Connie Hawkins Summer Basketball League, which in fact has just celebrated a glorious memorial salute to the great Connie Hawkins. So to that again, I thank you across the nation for that effort.
My pleasure, and would it be worth a moment just to that story?
Sure, okay. By all means.
So it was, remind me, was it Chuck Porter? Chuck, the fellow who started that, and he did a very fine job of
Chuck Portis.
Portis,
yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
And so the issue.
Good memory.
Right. So the issue was securing 501c3 status for the Champions Association, so that contributions made to it would be tax deductible to the givers. And many foundations require that you have that status before they'll give you money. And so Bill asked me to take a look at that. And it was very interesting because when you look at what's required to gain that status, you have to be organized and operated exclusively for, and they list a number of categories, charitable, educational, artistic, literary, scientific purposes. The question is, did we fit any of those purposes as a basketball league? And so in my research, I discovered that there had been one case so far in the country which went through the courts. It was the Hutchinson baseball team in Kansas, Hutchinson, Kansas, that had actually applied based upon baseball being an educational activity. And they had lost their case and appealed, and they won their case in the federal circuit court in that it was Kansas was in. And so I figured, well, let's make that argument about the Connie Hawkins Summer Basketball League. And so we did, and we got turned down initially. And so we thought that, well, maybe we have to go to court in order to get the result we want. And if the circuit court, which is the Third Circuit in Pennsylvania, should get our case, and if we should lose, then you would have what's called a split in the circuits between the Third Circuit and the circuit out in the Midwest, which means a case like this could go to the U.S. Supreme Court.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking that would be really neat if we had to do that and to get that far. Well, I ended up doing some more research, and we ended up characterizing the application in a way that we included not only the basketball, but also the inner city activity that went beyond basketball.
Right.
And that, I think, made the application stronger. And we filed a protest with the IRS, and we won the protest.
Yes.
So we didn't have to go to court. We got the status and maintained that status for all these years.
And the rest, as they say, is history. Speaking of history, Trev and Kev and myself and a couple other guys over the last couple weeks have been filling in the blanks on a makeshift basketball bracket sheet that Kevin put together. I think, if memory serves me right, I think the three of us were clearly knocked out of the bracket sheet.
Not at all.
Well, I had Toronto win in the East, and I think you had Toronto win in the East. As a matter of fact, yes, you did.
On the East.
You're out. You're done.
Well, no, I have Golden State winning it all, so how could I be done?
Well.
Thank you. Thank you.
So not knocked out. So,
exactly. Right. You see how he's wrong, Vince? All the time.
Wait.
You know, just because you have a team out doesn't automatically knock you out if you have.
All right, I'll give you that.
The champion still in that you picked.
Well, then I'm still in too, then, because I think we all had Golden State winning.
Well, that's why I'm here, Bill.
Who'd you have?
You out.
Who'd you have?
Part of the reason.
Can I talk on the mic now, Kev?
Go ahead.
Okay. So Bill gave me permission to talk this time.
Sure.
So I'm gonna talk.
All right.
Well, Mr. Neal.
You said too much already.
Yeah.
Man.
If you look at my bracket, you would think I knew nothing about basketball because remember, I went with the underdogs and I took Philadelphia and I also took Oklahoma City.
But you weren't too far off the beaten path with that Philly pick, man. That Philly pick was a good possibility for a moment.
Yeah, but I think I'm a year early.
What did they want? One game?
Well, they were in the game. Let's put it that way.
Okay.
I mean, they were in the fight.
Yeah, until they met Boston.
Well, NBA. Playoffs are now coming down the wire. The East featuring the great LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers taking one on the chin from the Boston Celtics, I think, somewhat unexpectedly. I don't think anybody saw a 25-point butt-whooping coming. And Golden State and Houston will lock horns tonight, that being Monday night. What is it, May 12th, 13th, 14th? 14th. So here we go. In Kevin's makeshift, somewhat questionable ability to stay in the hunt for championship.
Yeah, I have the having picked right here.
Having picked a losing team in the East, but because he has the winning team in the West, that supposes that he will be
That's how it works, man. That's how it works.
I offer no argument. So allow us to go around the horn here, and Trey, feel free to jump in. But here we sit. I'll just kick it off by saying this. Vince, you may or may not know this, but these guys know I'm a LeBron hater. I don't like the greatest player on the planet.
And ask them why, Ben.
Well, it's
– ask them why.
Bill, why would that be?
Well, it's none of anybody's business. All you need to know is I don't like him, and I don't have to tell you why I don't like him. I don't like him. Well, okay, if you insist on wanting to know why, I don't like the – entitlement attitude. I never did like it initially. Now he's mellowed because pressure came down on him from a variety of directions. You know, he's a little bit like Trump. Like 50% of the country likes LeBron and 50% doesn't. I'm just not a LeBron fan. I didn't like the entitlement. I didn't like going to Miami. We're going to win 1, 2, 3, 4. Didn't like that nonsense. Didn't appreciate them making fun of Dirk Nowitzki and his boys when Dirk got sick. And they were mocking him being sick. So when they got beat by Dallas, I thought that was great. What goes around comes around. So I'm just not a LeBron fan. Is he the greatest player on the planet right now? Certainly one of the top three. And can't take anything away from his talent. And he literally put the Cleveland Cavaliers and everybody in Cleveland on his back as he literally single-handedly rolled through Indiana and Toronto.
Well, so, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Well, first of all, I mean, you said a whole lot of things.
Well, you asked me to
I
say
just
something.
Need to hop on right away.
Jump in there.
You even mentioned Trump. You know, it's not 50-50. It's more like 60-40. 60% of the country does not like Trump.
True enough.
And 40% do for whatever reason.
I was just being
okay. Well, I mean, you know, when you make mistakes, I like to correct you.
Yes, you do.
You know, every
you
chance
do.
I get.
Yes, you do.
You well, know, I'm trying to give people the right information.
Whatever. Go ahead, man.
Well, I might just add to this to LeBron's credit.
Mm-hmm.
When the issue of NBA champions going to the White House came up, he did say that it used to be a great honor go there until you showed up.
Well,
talking about the president.
Yeah, he has social commentary, and he's not afraid to offer it.
Yep.
So,
and he's a stand-up guy.
He's a good guy.
I have no idea why anyone wouldn't like LeBron James.
Well, I don't like him as a basketball player. Yeah. I don't have a problem with him as a person. He's a good guy. Yeah. He's a stand-up guy.
Even as a basketball player.
He's not my favorite guy. I'm just not a LeBron guy.
I mean,
in fairness to him,
you don't like his greatness?
Yeah. Well, you don't like the Pirates.
Yeah.
I love the Pirates. We'll talk about that later. Because I'm objective in my assessment.
Well, my objective
and you
assessment
can't take
is,
my assessment, I can't help that.
Well,
let me add two.
My objective
two,
is
two.
I don't like LeBron.
Let me add two things. So the first time I saw LeBron play was at the Mellon Arena when they played Newcastle. LeBron was a high school senior.
Right.
And when I saw him play, I said to the people around me, including my daughter, this guy is awesome.
He's a phenom.
Incredibly.
Yeah.
Quick
high
jump,
school
high jump, awesome. The other thing was when they got to the NBA playoffs, I think the first time in Cleveland, there was one game where it went to overtime, and I think he scored the last 28 or 30 points for the team, including the fourth quarter in overtime. And that was, I think, the single most awesome demonstration of basketball, dominating basketball I've ever seen.
Yeah. I think – what the issue is here, Vince and Trev, I'm not sure if we have any mirrors in here, but Bill needs one because he needs to look into it and he needs to understand, you know, what the problem is. He's the problem. He's the problem because how could you not like a guy who's a great guy? He's arguably one of the best basketball players that ever played the game. He's a stand-up guy. He's for the right things from a social standpoint, and he's a team player. And I hate to say this as well, he brought Cleveland their first championship, I think, since 1964. So in all aspects, on the basketball court and off the basketball court, he's a great guy. And I don't even like Cleveland. Let me finish. There's two athletes that played for Cleveland I have mad respect for. And that's Jim Brown and LeBron James.
So let me add a point. The issue might be here that there may not be enough room in the Eastern United States for two people who consider themselves the greatest, LeBron James and Bill Neal.
No, I never. That's not even laughable. I never look upon myself as great at anything.
Clearly
Vince is a little lopsided like you are. But I thought Roger Staubach was a great quarterback and a great person and a stand-up guy. I didn't like him. I don't like the athlete.
You need a mirror.
I don't
in
need
your
a
house.
Mirror. I know who I
that's,
like.
That's the problem.
And I'll really bring this home for you. I don't like you.
Well,
so if that helps you understand it better,
maybe
that's what you need to hear. Now listen, clearly, it looks like Boston has something for Cleveland that nobody thought would be coming. They're down three of their great players, including Kyrie Irving. And nobody thought that Boston could do what they've done. And will they be able to repeat that kind of whooping? Will Cleveland make adjustments? Boston's position is make LeBron shoot the ball, make Cleveland shoot the ball, keep LeBron out the lane. And it worked. Now, will that work again on Tuesday night? It remains to be seen. And we'll find out what's going on in the West when Golden State and Houston lock horns. I still say Golden State has too many weapons for anybody. But quite a surprise. In Boston, to be sure.
And, Bill, I know we have basically a minute before we go on to the next segment, and we'll talk about it a little bit more, NBA basketball. We'll get into some hockey. We'll get into what's going on in Major League Baseball. And, yes, we'll talk about my Pittsburgh Pirates for sure, and we'll even throw in some NFL as well. So we look forward to that. I'm not sure if you have anything else before we move on,
Fred,
Bill.
How do you help me spell hypocrite? Because like I said, I'm not that smart a guy. I want to spell out hypocrite and write it in big letters and then put it in front of Kevin to show him. Well, look, we will be back. Just getting started. We got a lot to talk about. The Penguins fell short. Pittsburgh Pirates are doing much better than Kevin Cameron. That's Kevin Cameron gave them any credit for. One game out of first place. And knocking the ball out of the park, a little bit of a junior lumber company, if you will. And NBA finals are coming at us hard and fast. NFL teams are reporting don't have to be here, but we want you to be here no matter what you think, camp. And all that stuff is going on. And when we come back, we'll give away some of these Pirate tickets. Got some Pirate tickets to give away. And going to recap the glorious weekend we had in memory of the great Connie Hawkins and the 1968 world champion Pittsburgh Pirates. Be right back in a moment.
In your hand, you have $19.99. What could you do with that? You can fill up your gas tank, stop by a local coffee shop. You may need to add a little bit more to that. Maybe a matinee ticket to the movies. Matinee, though. What about subscribing to UrbanMediaToday.com? No, think about it. For just $19.99, you'll receive exclusive podcasts, interviews, entertainment updates, sports reports, and more. A VIP subscription to Urban Media Today is more than just a magazine subscription. It's access to the urban lifestyle. UrbanMediaToday.com is your only source for HBCU sports. Plus, you have direct access to awesome prizes like gift cards, swag, concert tickets, and your $19.99 supports another minority-owned business. That's pretty cool, right? Log on to UrbanMediaToday.com right now and subscribe for just $19.99 a year. Not a month, not a week, but a year. You've always wanted to be a VIP, right? Well, here's your chance. Subscribe today for just $19.99 at UrbanMediaToday.com.
Let me get it easy on you.
So we're back, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to Soul Take Champions Live. And we've got a blue-eyed soul brother in the house with us today, Vince Lackner, who has been a basketball guy all his life and has played in the Connie Hawkins League. And Vince, remember, serves me right, you played some ball overseas for a little bit?
I did. I played in Belgium for 1 year and England for a year.
And had a lot of fun, I'm sure.
Had a blast.
Yeah. You know, speaking of Belgium, Billy Varner played his greater part of his professional career in Belgium and was known as the Michael Jordan of Belgium. He spoke very highly of having been there and loved being there. The great Billy Varner out of Valley High School, who played for Notre Dame. And Vince Lackner joins us today as we're kicking around a variety of sports topics. And Kevin Cameron, my partner in crime with this operation. We're wrapping up the conversation about the NBA finals, or as we're getting close to the finals. And we'll swing back in a moment and talk about a very interesting book that Vince Lackner brought to our attention. But what do you say we put nails in the coffin here and offer who we think's going to come, to the finish line with this thing? As much as I don't like LeBron, I was overly impressed with what he did, literally putting Cleveland Cavaliers on his shoulders and carrying them through the Pacers and through Toronto. I think, and it's you can't say this about grown men and professional athletes, when you use the word fear or scared. I don't think they were fearful or scared of him. I just think that he was so overpowering, they couldn't stop him. And they didn't, you know, somebody said to me yesterday, when's the last time you seen somebody take a charge on LeBron? I mean, he's a 260-pound, 6'8" phenomenon.
Freight train.
Yeah, freight train. And it's just, what are you going to do? So that being said, I'm going to go ahead with Boston, and I'm not a Boston fan at all. I'm a Laker fan, true blue. So I'm going to go ahead and say Boston wins the East, and only because I don't think LeBron's going to have enough left, enough to go against the strategy that Boston clearly is putting forth. And I'll stay with Golden State coming out the West.
You're looking over here. You want me to say something?
I want you to give your picks. What'd you show up
so,
for?
You're a LeBron hater.
That's not what I asked you. I want to know who you think is going to win. Don't worry about who I like and who I don't like.
You know, I have to watch what you say.
Well, you don't have
because to. You change from week to week. Well, you know, 1 week you're a LeBron hater. The next week you come in and talk about how great he is and how he's going to rise up and put the team on his back. And
I tell the truth.
And win the series and everything.
I told you that 2 weeks ago.
But you changed. When you said
Indiana, was going to win, I told you LeBron is not going to let Indiana take him out of the first round of the NBA playoffs. And he put them on his shoulders, as I told you. Whether I like him or not has nothing to do with the fact that he's a talented player.
Well,
I just don't like him as a player.
Well,
this
situation is very similar to the Indiana series. Indiana won game one. Boston won game one. By the time this airs on Wednesday night, game two would have been played. So our listeners will know when they listen if it's 1-1 or 0-2 from
exactly.
a Cleveland perspective.
Exactly.
And let me say this. Brad Stevens need to be given a lot of credit, but there's a few things that need to be kept in mind when we talk about Boston and how successful Boston has been in the playoffs, more especially Brad Stevens. Did you realize, Mr. Neal, I believe Brad Stevens is 1-3 in the playoffs on the road. On the road. So given that, if Cleveland is able to rise up that game too, and win and make it 1-1, it's a whole new series now. So Brad Stevens, again, is a very good coach. However, I want to see Boston win on the road, and you know it's going to be tough winning in Cleveland. So no matter what happens game two, that's going to be a big challenge for Boston to overcome that when you're 1-3 in the playoffs. Now, again, I hate going for Cleveland. I really do. But when I sit here, I try to be objective with the teams I hate. I try to be objective with the teams I love, like the Pirates. I can't stand Cleveland. I love the Pittsburgh team. So I'm going with Cleveland in this series because of LeBron. LeBron is going to find a way. even after game one, he basically said what he always says. I've been here before. I'm not concerned. Let me watch the tape. He's going to see how they're playing him, and he's going to adjust along with the Cleveland coaching staff. So I believe that they'll find a way to overcome what Boston is doing. And then let me talk about Brad Stevens a little bit more. People are saying, well, he's doing such a great job with his top two players out, Kyrie and Gordon. But people got to understand the players on the court right now are still number one draft picks and lottery picks. So it's not like Boston is lacking in talent. They do have the talent in order to compete, believe it or not, for a championship. Because we're talking about number one draft picks on the floor. And I believe, Trev, and you can help me out here, the NBA draft is coming up.
Yes, it is.
In June.
Yes, it is.
And I believe Boston has like the number two or number three pick in the NBA draft.
Right.
And then you're going to have Kyrie and Gordon coming back next year. They're really going to be loaded. But to answer your question, after saying all of that, I just think this year LeBron is going to be too much for them, because I don't believe that they're going to be able to fool LeBron for the whole series.
And if I could point something out to you, gentlemen, Bill, I have to agree with Kevin and Mr. Lackner. You're the guest, so I didn't mean to overstep.
That's okay.
You.
No, please.
But you have to pay attention to the fact that the Boston Celtics, they needed Marcus Morris and Al Horford and Jaylen Brown to score 20 points apiece in this last game. Al Horford shot 80% from the floor. Al Horford is not going to shoot 80% from the floor throughout this entire series. Now, with LeBron, they did hold him to, 15 points, and there was only two other players from Cleveland that scored in double figures. But I'm not going to bank on Morris, Horford, and Brown averaging 20 points through this series. Now, to Boston, one thing that didn't show up in this game was Scary Terry Rozier. Mm-hmm. Rozier.
Yeah.
Who only scored 8 points in his last game. Now, I expect him to score in double figures.
Sure.
Through this series. But I don't expect Morris, Horford, and Brown, along with Rozier, to score in double figures to beat LeBron James. Mm-hmm. So that's three players that had to score a combined total of 60 points for you to beat LeBron James.
And you're agreeing with Kevin about what?
That Cleveland is going to win this series.
Okay, well, I can take your money as well as I take Kevin's money.
Not even.
Now, look, let me just tell you something. Just because you're a number one draft pick doesn't make you a great player. There's a lot of number one draft picks is working in a grocery store or gas station somewhere.
But if you're a number one draft pick, you have talent.
But just
that's
because,
my point.
But just because you're a number one player, doesn't make you a great player. And the absence of Kyrie Irving and Gordon make a difference. Now, for these guys to step up and play as well as they're playing, that's good. They are talented athletes. But because you're a number one pick doesn't make you a great player.
Lots of number one picks have fallen short.
So I
never said great player.
Well, but you
said they have talent
they have
on
talent,
the floor. Those were my words, Bill.
But you
they
offered
have talent.
You offered
on the
that
floor.
They were number one draft picks,
and that means
and
a
I'm
lot.
And I'm saying just because they are doesn't make
do you
them
expect,
great players.
Do you expect number one draft picks to be contributors?
Yes, lots of people and teams have
Thank
expected
you.
That.
Thank you. That's my point.
Well, that's
it's not as though Brad Stevens is just getting players from nowhere. Yeah. And they weren't expected to be contributors.
I don't think
anybody's
expecting
that. And he's winning
that.
With them. That's not the case.
Yeah,
he's winning with number one draft picks.
But what is being expected is when you lose your top two players on your existing team, it is presumed that something will be lost from the team. Now, in the first game, that wasn't evident. Now, to both of your points, in game two, it might be more recognizable the loss of those two top players. They may have caught Cleveland off guard.
But keep in mind, Gordon Hayward didn't even play this year, basically.
Well, all that I'm offering.
So all that I'm offering to you
was that just because you're a number one draft pick doesn't make you a great player, and the loss of existing great players can make a difference. Now we'll have to wait until game two and see what emerges. But let me let you continue pondering while we get a response from our guest.
I'm saying, regardless of what happens in game two. Okay, and again, our listeners already will know. Brad Stevens is 1-3 on the road.
Okay, we got that.
That means a lot.
We got
so,
that.
I believe
we got that.
It's going to be tough for them to beat Cleveland in Cleveland.
We got that.
LeBron is going to find a way.
We got that. We got
to
that.
Move his team forward.
We got that from now, Vince. What do you think?
Well, I would just add to that that I think, as far as Boston and Golden State are concerned, without commenting at all on Cleveland and Houston, that there's an awful lot of talent on the bench, namely Brad Stevens and Steve Kerr.
Thank you.
I have high respect for those two coaches because of the respect that they give to their players. And I think that helps get the best out of those players. Great article about Brad Stevens the other day about how he is so effective because he gives such great respect to his players. Same goes for Steve Kerr. I'm sure this happens in Cleveland and Houston. I just don't know those coaches as well as what I've read about Boston and Golden State.
Well, LeBron's a coach in Cleveland.
That's what Bill always says.
I think it's a well-known fact that LeBron's a coach in Cleveland, so there you go.
He has a lot of respect for himself.
There you go. Yeah.
So who do you like?
Ultimately, I think it's going to be – you're talking about the finals?
No.
Or the East. The East, okay.
In the East.
I'm slightly partial to Boston only because the assistant coach on my 1 year on the team, junior year, was a man named Casey Jones, who was obviously one of the great players and one of the great defensive players of all time. So I have a little bit of a partiality toward them. I had the honor to sit on the bench and get in for maybe a minute in Boston Garden in December of 1970 in the Beanpot Tournament that featured Boston University, Boston College, Northeastern, and Harvard. And that was a thrill just to be on that court, the parquet floor, with dead spots that you could feel as you bounce
and
the ball.
These are the reasons you're picking Boston.
That's I'm partial to them for sentimental reasons.
Okay, well let's lock that down, Trev. That's all. That's real for you people out in Iowa. That's real important for you to know. That's for sure.
So I guess you're picking them to win it all.
No, for the finals, I'm going to pick Golden State because I think they're so loaded with talent and Steph Curry. To me, is the greatest shooter in basketball history.
Nice.
So you think it's Boston and Golden State?
Well, I guess I'm hoping for Boston, but I think it would be Golden State would beat either Boston or Cleveland in the finals.
Say that again?
I think it would be Golden State on the West would beat either team from the East, whether it be Boston or
Cleveland. But again, I always tell guests, Vince, you're no different.
Mm-hmm.
You are no different. When you come on this show, you can't hedge. No hedging on this show.
Okay.
Make a pick.
All right.
No Robin Cole stuff.
Okay.
That's what Robin did for 20 minutes.
So I will pick Boston.
You'll pick Boston. Okay. Yeah. Great. Now, let me ask another question, something, Bill, we didn't talk about.
But hold that. Do me a favor. Hold that one second. So you think Steph Curry's a better shooter than Jerry West, Pete Maravich, Rick Barry? You just immediately throw him to the front of the line, huh?
I do. I without looking at the stats of all four of those that you just named, I think his stats bear it out without comparing. Now, Pete Maravich did not have the three-point line.
No, he did not.
He averaged 43, 43.5, and 44 points a game.
Well, Vince, he had it, but they just didn't count the hoops. Well, he would shoot three-pointers, basically. He just didn't get the points for it.
They didn't have a line. They had the distance because the distance is the distance.
Right.
And he shot a lot of his shots from beyond that distance. So had he counted three-pointers, what would his average have been? Maybe 50 a game?
It would be astronomical.
It still would have been the highest in college basketball history, which it is to this day, whether you have a three-point shot or not.
Isn't that amazing?
You still put Curry in front of him.
I still do because, I thought the funny story was, yes, I do because it was extraordinary three-point shooting, which opens up the game. And opened up the inside by shooting from such distance. There was a game last year or the year before which was a key game, and it went into overtime, and Curry put them into overtime by coming down the court, just crossing over the half-court line and nailing a three-point shot to tie the game to force overtime. And somebody said, one of the announcers, this is crazy. Where do you pick up Steph Curry? And somebody said, you pick him up at home. You send an Uber. To pick him up.
Well, he is a great shooter to be sure, but I've said on this show countless times I'm going with Maravich as a shooter, as a scorer, as a basketball wizard. I don't think there's ever been anybody better. But everybody has their pick, and we do oftentimes forget about the great Jerry West, the logo, who was an absolutely devastating shooter.
Well, I did say at 2 a.m. at the Marriott City Center we're having post-game analysis.
Yeah,
we ran around the table. Who's your favorite player?
Yeah.
And I was the only one who said Pete Maravich.
Yeah.
So if you had to pick one, which one would you pick?
Well, it depends on what you're counting. So if the greatest shooter, pure shooter, I'd say Steph Curry.
No, in general.
But my all-time favorite, and that's a different question, is Pete Maravich. If I had to pick one or the other, I mean, it depends. Maravich for my favorite, Curry for his pure shooting skill.
You're hedging again.
Exactly. Yeah.
So you have a team, and you have a spot for a starter.
Right.
And you have those two out there, and they told you pick one.
Yeah. I would pick Steph Curry.
You would pick Steph Curry.
Yes.
Okay. Now,
won't Pete be disappointed in knowing if he's your favorite, you pick Curry?
Well, because he was my favorite because of the razzle dazzle of his game and the incredible no look passes and all the stuff he did. But from a point of view of being an effective player on a team, I'd pick Curry.
All right.
Now, let me go Bill Parcells on you. A famous quote, and I hope I quote him correctly. And Bill, if you know this quote, please correct me. I know you would love to correct me, but I'm not going to call him great, but the well-known Bill Parcells would always say, a person's or a player's greatest ability is his availability. And I love Steph Curry, but I would like to see him become more available. Okay, he gets hurt too much. Mm. And given that, I would have to go with Pete Maravich.
Good point.
As a result of that, because again, you have to be available.
Well, no correction needed there, and it's a good point.
Yeah.
I mean, it goes without saying that you can't help us from the whirlpool.
Now, moving on to the other side of the bracket,
and quickly
to the West, we have Houston and Golden State. So I'm going to throw it right to you again, Vince. Who do you like and why?
Well, James Harden apparently has the fastest stop in the game. So when you measure a guy's ability to stop, he's absolutely off the charts of all players who ever played the game. And that gives him the advantage to be able to stop and take a shot or fool you with a hesitation stop and then go. So he's amazing. I don't know enough about the rest of the Houston team. I would, again, come back to Golden State as being so loaded with the Splash Brothers and Durant and everybody else. Green, right? Iguodala.
Yeah.
Livingston, all those guys are amazing. And if they're all healthy through the playoffs, I think they would beat Houston. They start tonight, and we'll see. But I would pick Golden State for that matchup.
Well, I'm going to stay Golden State, but I want to come back and ask the question, guys, or maybe just directed at Kevin. If Cleveland does win, I don't know if we put this on the table or not, if Cleveland does win the East, and let's say Golden State wins the West, who do you pick there?
If Cleveland wins the East?
Yeah, if they end up in the championship against Golden State, who you picking?
Golden State.
Okay, because that's something else to think about. Mm. If, as you suggested, LeBron puts them on his shoulders one more time and takes Boston out, and they face Golden State in the championship, that's no day at the beach. Hey, Cleveland, great job getting here, but now look what you got to do. So that could be another facing Curry and the boys. I mean, they got a lot of weapons. They come at you. You know, everybody always says no one talks about Klay Thompson enough, and no one talks about Klay Thompson enough. But he's a great ball player, and he handles his role extremely well. He doesn't mind being Robin to Batman, so to speak. But he's a devastating player and a devastating shooter and a great defensive player. So, and then we forget about Durant. I mean, good Lord. You got three great, great potential Hall of Fame players in the backcourt.
And I think it's the whole team when you talk about Batman and Robin. All of them really play the Robin role as appropriate.
Yeah,
I've never seen a team move the ball so well. Okay, so you give defenses fits when you move the ball the way that they move the ball. And then you have shooters. They know how to spread the court. So they'll be tough for either Cleveland or Boston. And I think by the time, if Cleveland is fortunate enough to make it, I think by that time LeBron really would be tired and worn down. And I don't foresee him getting through the championship that way.
Well, what makes it also uncertain is the who stays healthy and who's injured. When Cleveland won, of course, Curry was not healthy. He had hurt his knee. He wasn't 100%. And that gave Cleveland the opportunity, which they took advantage of. So there's a lot of uncertainty in terms of who might get hurt during the series as to how the teams do.
Well, let's go around the horn. We'll start with you, Trev, since you're the voice in and out of the mix. Who are you picking to win it all? Who's going to be in the final? Who are you picking to win it all?
He already made his pick, Bill.
Well, I want to hear it again.
I want Cleveland to win it all, but Golden State's going to win it simply from what Kev just said, because I think if LeBron does make it past, when LeBron makes it past Boston, I think he's just going to be too beat up. And he's Superman, but
so you're putting Cleveland in the championship.
I'm putting Cleveland
Golden
in
State.
The championship against Golden State, and then I'm picking Golden State.
All right, well, and you're Kev. Your final two and the final one is.
Here's the deal. I'm going to give you some real good information. Some real good information. Not only will I tell you who my picks are, which is Golden State and Cleveland, but I'm so bad, I'm going to tell you what number. I'm going to go Muhammad Ali on you. Cleveland, Golden State, and Golden State sweeps them.
Silence falls upon the room. That's interesting.
I said it.
That's interesting.
I said it.
Well, I tell you what I'm not going to do. I'm not going to argue against it. You said it. We'll see what happens. I don't think LeBron's going to allow himself to be swept if it's Cleveland.
They're too powerful. Golden State just has too much. I believe you saw that game one against Boston. I just see four games like that against Golden State.
Years ago, Seattle was in the finals, and they were down 3-0. And I think they had game four in Seattle, and I forget who the other team was. But the newspaper headline the next day read, "Sweepless in Seattle." So Seattle did win game four, and they were not swept.
Yeah. Well, look, your final word is what, Vince?
Boston versus Golden State. And I picked Golden State to win it all.
Okay, and I got Golden State in Boston as well. I don't think Cleveland gets out the East. I really don't.
And
it has nothing to do with me being a LeBron hater.
Go ahead.
I don't think Cleveland gets out the East. I think it's Boston and Golden State. But I think we all better be at least somewhat cautious that Houston could win the West. That's not out of the realm of possibility that we all could get slammed. Houston could win the West. I think if memory, Trev, you always have the right stats. Didn't Houston win the series, the regular season series against Golden State?
This year, yes.
I'm pretty sure they did. So it's not like.
When, what series?
The head-to-head.
The regular season.
In what?
Regular season.
Say it again.
Did Houston beat Golden State?
Regular season.
He's getting
on regular season. Regular season.
Different from
that's
playoffs.
The key. Yeah.
Oh, no, I'm just saying.
That's the key.
That is a key. There's a difference. I'm just offering that they did.
Toronto was the number one seed.
I'm just offering that
it's a whole different ball game.
No argument there.
Okay.
No argument there.
But what I do want to ask you all, but I think I interrupted, Bill, so go ahead.
No, I'm done. Go ahead.
All right. So when Cleveland is swept by Golden State, LeBron is a free agent. Where do you think he'll land?
L.A. I've been saying Lakers – all year.
But he won't probably say that he'll take his talents to L.A. He'll be a little more modest this time.
Yes, I think he will.
So do you agree, L.A.?
If anywhere, I'd say L.A.
Trev?
LeBron is going – I want to see him in Philly. But I think he's staying in Cleveland.
You do?
Yep, I think he's staying in Cleveland.
Okay, good. None of you picked.
Yeah.
Or said what I'm about to say.
Which is common.
Yeah, because I'm normally right, Bill. Yeah, that's why.
Yeah, go ahead.
Just like the Pirates, I tell you what's going
where
on.
Where at, man?
He'll be in Houston. He'll be in Houston with Chris Paul and
that's not happening.
Harden.
And Harden.
And James Harden, that's not happening. That's too much. But him and James Harden on the same squad.
Two basketballs.
That's what's going on.
That's not happening. And you got CP3 there too.
And CP3.
That's not happening.
Well, you know, CP3.
And Harden, I can't see Harden wanting him. CP3. I can't see Harden signing off on that. Because Harden left because he wasn't the man.
When the Houston.
He went to Houston because he wasn't the
man. Lose this series. James Harden is going to say, hey, we got to do something to beat Golden State. And you know Chris Paul is LeBron's son, godfather.
Yeah. Well, I think if we see LeBron growing out his beard, I think he's on his way to Houston.
That'd be the giveaway, huh?
Yeah.
Well, okay. Well, time will tell, right?
Time will tell. Not a bad prediction. Let's Vince, you and I, Kevin as well, can take these last couple minutes and wrap up what has been a glorious 3 months of preparation. For those that don't know by now, a reunion of the 1968 Pittsburgh Pipers ABA World Championship team that was led by the great, legendary Connie Hawkins came to a fantastic close two weeks ago. Saturday before last, as we were able to bring in 13 members of that 1968 championship team who, in fact, had not been together since they won that title, many of whom went on to great successes in various basketball levels. But you should know, ladies and gentlemen, that it was a sold-out audience at the Marriott Hotel. It was a grand time. Pittsburgh came out, as I hoped they would. They were dressed up, pumped up, excited, and glad to be there. Urban Media Today, Talk Sports was there live. Soul Take Champions Live was there live. 300-plus people in the room, and it was just a grand night. And with that being said, Connie Hawkins' grandson, Sean, and his granddaughter, Kiana.
Kowina.
Were in attendance. I was told that Chico Vaughn's daughter was actually there, unbeknownst to a lot of us. I think Mark was told that she was there. We had 13 members. We had 12 members of the 68 championship team.
Actually, 11, because one died 3 weeks earlier.
Yeah, I think Bill Myers took them down to 12.
It was 11 of the 12 surviving members.
Okay, so Meyer was the 12th one then.
Right.
Okay, so and just a tremendous night. Just a great night. Connie Hawkins League Hall of Fame inductions. The reunion of the Pipers. It looks like we will have to continue this after the break. But just a great reunion. We'll come back and talk a little bit more about the Pipers reunion and some of the things that were said after the show in the lounge.
Post game analysis.
Yes, that's what real fun was going on. We'll do all that. Give away some pirate tickets. Talk to you about Kevin's Pittsburgh Pirates, and I think something needs to be said about Tiger Woods because Tiger is suggesting he's back.
That's right.
Tiger is suggesting he's back. We'll be right back in a moment.
To advertise on Urban Media Today and Urban Media Today Radio, call 412-424-7045. Urban Media Today is an online blog magazine specializing in urban lifestyle, finance, entertainment, HBCU sports, and more with 24/7 exposure and online exclusives. Email editor at urbanmediatoday.com or call 412-424-7045.